Welcome to the Hockey Writers Podcast, where your favorite THW contributors discuss the hottest topics around the NHL and hockey world every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Listen on iHeartRadio and wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to check out our other great content at thehockeywriters.com. I'm your host, Matthew Zator, and here on another Friday morning here, joined in by Mariah Stark and Mike Fink. Melissa's not on the episode today on a normal Friday, but Mike, thanks for stepping in. And first of all, how's it going? I mean, World Juniors are in full swing now, hockey in August and all that. Off-season still kind of going on in the NHL, not much going on there, but we have hockey to talk about. So how's it going?
I've been good. It's actually interesting because I'm a baseball guy, but so like I find this time of year actually kind of exciting, but like along with being a hockey guy as well, but like World Juniors being in August, I wonder like where has this been? Because this is kind of like a nice, a pleasant surprise to have like these extra games. I'm like, this is nice. Like, why doesn't like, it could be a good question, but like, why wouldn't the NHL do this / will they do this again? Just because I'm like, for fans, it's like, this is nice. I'm like, I'm loving it. I mean, I haven't really followed otherwise.
Yeah, well, the thing is with World Juniors is like they have to pull players away from their leagues and stuff. This they wouldn't have to do. So I don't know. It is an interesting discussion to kind of have. We may have that maybe the next episode. We have a lot of stuff to kind of go through in this one, but it's a good discussion for sure. Mariah, how's it going? Yeah, it is great. Hockey in August. I mean, this is usually a lot of no news and stuff, so it's really good. So Mariah, how's it going on another Friday here? And hockey, kind of, you can't watch a lot of it since a lot of people would have to have the subscription to NHL Network, and TSN is subscription sometimes in Canada, but it's most part you can get it. But so how's it going?
Yeah, I'm a little annoyed because I really wanted to watch, and I mean, yeah, there's highlights and stuff, but I don't want to subscribe for $70 a month, so I get to pay attention to Twitter as often as I can.
Well, there's a lot of people posting things. IIHF does the highlights a lot on Twitter, and TSN kind of posts some stuff too, so there is stuff kind of going around you can see. I've watched most of the games. I didn't watch the Canada game, was doing some other stuff, but Canada won 11-1 against Slovakia, so panic button, don't press it. Latvia, they won 5-2. Kind of everyone was kind of like, what the heck, you're supposed to be winning 12-0 or whatever. But they went 11-1 against Slovakia, who's admittedly it should be a stronger team, but they're missing a few guys that usually play for them, so they're not as strong. But it's kind of surprising they were kind of demolished that way. But you know, Canada's off to a 2-0 start. Finland won the first game. They're also 2-0. They won 4-3 in a shootout. That was a bit of an exciting, well, maybe some of it was exciting. I mean, some of it was a little bit boring too, but yeah, but, I mean, the World Juniors has been pretty good so far. You know, a few teams are 2-0, and game for the Americans is going in about an hour or so. So, I mean, that should be a blowout too. They're playing Switzerland. So I feel the World Juniors is a lot of the stronger games, the more exciting games when it gets down to the medal rounds. We have the strong teams going against each other all the time. But let's start there with some of the, you know, teams that you guys cover. So let's start with you, Mike. Atu Ratu, who, I mean, second round pick. But look what he's doing in the World Juniors so far. He's got a couple goals. Today I was really impressed with his game. He's looking like a really good two-way forward. What have you liked about his play? Have you seen from him in the first two games here? And by extension of that, do you see him actually having a chance at cracking the Islanders opening night roster? Because he can do that. He can also play in the AHL. So what do you think of his play so far?
Yeah, I guess to start, I'll start by thinking of like what Ratu's really been impressive with. And you look at what really stands out is just see I've also been watching Connor Bedard, so in a lesser extent Bedard for Canada, how he does everything excellent. Like he does everything to like the elite level, like you want like quick Ratu does everything well. Like, mm-hmm. He does a lot of things really well. Like, he good instincts. His goal today that gave Finland a 3-2 lead before the game got tied up at three. It's like good instincts, like where he is, where the puck's going, and he just finds the back of the net, just gets the puck on net before the goaltender sees it. So it's like he does so much right, like so many things right, and it's just like, and it's like, there's nothing really to point, say like, oh, he does this incredibly. Mm-hmm. I mean, but he does a lot of things where you're like, oh, he's like good at all these things. So like, I'm trying to think of a good comp for him, like in the NHL now, but like a player who's good, who just is good at so many like little things, like, but he's, that's kind of like what I'm picking up. And it's, so that's like the first thing, like his skill set. I'm like, I think fans should understandably be excited about what he could potentially bring this team, especially like, I guess like that's kind of like, I guess a good comp is Pasternak in that sense, because he can bring a young presence to a veteran core and kind of make them competitive longer and give them in like this new look to, if you will. So that's like part one of the, I get okay. question. Would he make the NHL roster opening night? I wouldn't think so. And I mean, I'm kind of like going on a long rant here, but on Ratu, but I think there's a few things to consider. One is he is a center, and you look at the Islanders have four centers on their roster right now. And if they make a signing, whoever that might be, there's five centers potentially.
Yeah.
So what's Ratu's projected like avenue onto the team is, I think he'll start on the wing, which is kind of like one of those things to struggle with. But also part two is like, there's no pressure necessarily to bring him in right away. I think they'll put him in Bridgeport, see how he adjusts to the Bridgeport, to the AHL game. And then they'll see from there, like if he's ready, they'll bring him in. I think mid-season's your projection timeline, your timeline for him right now, which is better than I think anyone expected when you were drafting him. But that's where I would project him to like sort of join the roster. I've spoken a lot about like Ratu for now, I guess.
Yes. Well, the thing is he'll draft it all the way in the second round. And they were saying like, that's not horrible, but the way he was so touted before that draft, the year before, I believe it was actually talked about as being in that top five range and dropping all the way to the second round. And now what he's doing, he's showing that he's as much as a first rounder. I think he looks like a first rounder to me.
And it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of interesting on that note, because I think a similar player's having an impressive showing, Brad Lambert fell to the Winnipeg Jets. And I'm like, is he another Ratu because of that?
Yeah. He was a first rounder. I thought he was going to drop in the second the way he was going. Mm-hmm. He was pretty close to doing that. But yeah, I mean, Ratu's looked really good. I think he's probably been, apart from like Joachim Kamel's looked really good too. And he dropped as well. So you know what? I mean, Finland, they're a really strong team. And the thing is, like the first two games, they kind of started slow and then, you know, started putting their game together. But a lot of the really good individual efforts, like Kasper Puteo playing really well, fifth round pick of the Florida Panthers. And he's been probably their best defenseman so far. And he's a guy that weren't really looking at when you started watching this tournament. It's like, well, who's this guy? He's got a couple goals as a defenseman and played the second most ice time in the game today. So, I mean, of defense. So, I mean, that's a guy that everyone would think, oh, he'd be a headliner on this team, but he's been. So, Finland's got, again, you can never count this team out. They're always there. There's always these underrated players part of it. And it looks like Ratu's going to be one of them in the NHL, too. So, it's going to be interesting to what his development is like.
You think with Finland players like Mikko Rantanen, Patrick Laine, you think there's some talented NHL players from Finland? That the ones like Brad Lambert and Atu Ratu, their stock like they get drafted late. It's like, I mean, maybe it's the way the league, like, is people take a second look at the league, maybe, but like, it's just like these players are legit, or I mean, they're just playing well together, like just on this team. So
always Finland has great systems, and that's part of the reason why they're so good all the time. And it doesn't matter if you're a star or whatever, they always play that system and it's worked for them. So it's going to be interesting to see how far they go. They're going to have to fix those slow starts, because against teams like Canada, US, you're going to be down 5-0 before you know it. And, you know, so you can't be going out the gate slow, that's for sure. All right. Speaking of Team USA, I mentioned them there. Mariah, you've got a defenseman on that. I mean, new addition. He was traded there not that long ago. Brock Faber. He's the captain of Team USA. Not the big minute man in the first game. I mean, looked at his ice time. I thought he was going to be up there. But Luke Hughes, obviously, is the guy that he plays a lot of minutes. What do you think about Brock Faber's future with the Wild? I mean, do you see him playing for them in the next couple seasons? Or, I mean, he's probably going to be in university for a bit. But how big of a role will he play in the future of the Wild's defense?
Oh, I'm excited. Because, well, he's not only captain of USA, he's also captain for his college team as well.
Yes,
will be joining some leadership this fall. And, you know, with the Wild still have to do something. We talked about this last week. I think there could be a defenseman traded. Kulikov maybe, but that's a whole side story. But to make room for the future, they have to do something. And with Kulikov's contract going up next year, if he stays, as well as Dumba, I could see Faber joining, skipping out his senior year and maybe joining next season, depending upon, you know, Addison and how the rest of the core does. But I'm actually really excited for when he does join, because I just read an article like before this about how he's so strong in leadership and team first mentality. Like he doesn't talk about himself. It's always his teammates, and he's just a very courteous guy. I mean, obviously in hockey, you need a little bit of a edge too, like physical side, but I'm just excited to see how he can kind of fit into the core a little bit, because they all seem to really care about each other, and he has that aspect. So I'm excited, and just his speed and everything too is going to be great, but I kind of want time to move a little faster so I can see him.
Yeah, well, he's playing in their backyard too, right? So he can
he's from
going
literally 40 minutes from my house.
There you go. You can actually go watch him if he isn't in Minnesota. So I'm excited. Like I said, I've said on a previous podcast that I wanted the Canucks to go after this guy when, you know, they were talking about training JT Miller, and Faber was in one of the packages that I had. I think I did an article on defenseman to target from the Kings, and he was one of them. So going to Minnesota, he's going to be really good. And I'm really excited to see him in the NHL at some point, because he's going to be a heck of a defenseman, not just on the ice, but off the ice. His leadership, and like you said, his personality is amazing too. So he's going to really fit in really great in the locker room as well when he makes it. So I'm excited to see what happens with him for sure. Okay, let's go and talk about the guy that everyone loves to talk about. And we want to stop talking about him because he's got a sign somewhere. So Nazem Kadri, we've talked about, I think, almost every episode in the last few days.
Yep.
But this hopefully is coming to an end soon. We have Mike, we've got you on the podcast. The guy the team that everyone's saying he's going to go to is the New York Islanders. So I want to get your thoughts on this. Do you believe that this is a done deal? It's rumored that it has been, that Lamoriello is just keeping it quiet. But now there are also reports that he's still talking to teams. So do you think it's done? And if it is, do you like this rumored offer of 7 years, $7 million AAV?
Yeah, there's a lot to take away from all this. I mean, there's when the Kadri, who wasn't getting signed for a while, you kind of were wondering what was going on. I think everyone on Long Island was wondering, and everyone just in the NHL world. I think to start, there's the three factors: the Avalanche, Kadri, and the Islanders. And because of these three, like factors, these three like elements, two teams and a player, I can't tell you like much. Like if it was any other teams and any other player, we would know like, okay, this is what he wants to do, and this is like what the team's direction is. Because I mean, for starters, like I think the Avalanche want to bring him back. I think they still, in a world, do. But the problem is like I think realistically, you look at them and you're like, they can give him a 4x4. Yeah. And that's probably like where that's probably what Joe Sakic said. Like I have a 4x4 on the table. And if you don't want it, you can leave. And then there's Kadri. Like, what does he want? And that's the tricky part. So this really leaves the Islanders as the other team, and they can offer him. They can offer him the money. They could offer him the $7 million. I'm looking at what if they offer him 7x7. The money isn't the issue. The year is certainly
term. Yeah.
He's 30. He's 31. He's going to be 32 by the time the puck drops on opening night. And there's a lot of pros and cons, which, I mean, if we've been talking about Kadri all week, I don't want to turn this into a Kadri pod. but basically, like, he's 31 going 32. And if you give him 7 years, by the time that contract ends, he'll be 39, if I'm not mistaken, or he'll be 30 at 39. Like, you can maybe buy out. I mean, there's a world where you could buy out a contract and say like, okay, at 35, we do a buyout, and then we have to pay dead money. But like, the years is really because I think a 5x7 is something you'd be like, okay, like whatever, 5 years is a lot, but not like over the top overwhelming. But 7x7 is going to be something that could potentially is something that could haunt you in those later years. So that's kind of the view, because I think the money part isn't the problem, especially since the Islanders are sort of over the cap right now.
Yeah.
So the money part, and they were going to offer Gaudreau in the 8 or 9 million range. So the money's not the issue; it's the years that you're kind of worried about on that note.
Yeah, and that's the same thing with like in Vancouver with JT Miller. I don't think it's the money; I think it's more so the term. They don't want him to be, you know, 36, 37 when the deal's over. And that's, I think, the biggest thing for them too. Mariah, what do you think about this? I know we've talked about Nazem Kadri on Fridays before, but you have any other thoughts about this, of him going to the Islanders at this type of money?
Oh, I don't think we're going to know anything until like the day before training camp. I think it's going to drag out. I kind of agree with Mike. I think, you know, 7 years, that's, we all hate that kind of contract. I mean, if Hannah was on here, she'd be having a whole hour long rant about how that's such a bad deal. Money wise, I do think he's earned that. He might be a little bit high, but yeah, he's a player that I'm just so conflicted on, that I want him to sign like right now so it can be done, but at the same time I can see it going the full length and being dramatic, because that's how the NHL is with certain players.
Always at least one.
There's always one, and I can't say a lot because it was Kaprizov last year, so
yeah
it's
Patterson for the Canucks though too, and Quinn Hughes, so it's like
and also last year Lamoriello had the he waited until like late August to sign Parise. Palmer. Yeah.
So. Yeah. And this sounds like there's a few deals that are going to be announced all together. Kevin Weeks had that report about a bunch that are done. Kiefer Bellows and Noah Dobson, all those deals are done. Apparently he just hasn't renounced them yet. What is his problem? Why the heck does he just announce these deals? I don't get it. But
because he likes the drama of the attention.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, because like it's only seemed like a thing the past two off seasons, whereas it hasn't really seemed like a reoccurring. Some people say that when he was with the Devils he did this, where he was very like, but the other part is that as an exec he is kind of he discloses information, doesn't have a lot of press conferences, doesn't really talk a lot, so there is that to consider. But But like it, in terms of waiting, like it is very weird, and kind of it's kind of like makes it weird to cover the Islanders just like writing free agency recaps or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good segue here. What moves do you think could happen if Kadri is in fact signed to that deal? You said they're all kind of really close to the cap, and with that signing, they're going to have to probably make some moves. So what do you think could happen as a result of this? What players do you think could be on the move?
So I think the first part is finding out what the Dobson and Romanov deals are, because I think both are going to be bridge deals in the 3-year range, 3 to 4 year range, Romanov's in the $2 million to $3 million type is what you're projecting. I'd say $3 million for Romanov, and then Dobson's like $4 million, $3 to $4 million, but $4 million probably. So when you do all the math and all this, like, they're going to need to trade like one contract, seems like the most reasonable type of thing. And there's been a handful of players that have been rumored to be like the right players to trade. But I mean, like each one, you're like, oh, like you really, do you really want to lose him? Or do you really want to lose that player to your lineup? And then there's the players that it's like, it's the fan in you is thinking for that, because it's like, oh, let's just get rid of this player we don't want, and someone else is going to pick up this contract. So I think the players that come to mind are Bailey and Beauvillier, the two that and I think Bailey is the kind where it's like, if you trade him, you have to do an Andrew Ladd type of trade, which the Islanders did, where you trade all away a second round pick in like 2024. Along with Bailey to another team. And Bailey is also a hard player to part, even though he's kind of fallen off a bit. He's a hard player to part ways with. He's a fan favorite. He's been with the organization since he was drafted in 2008. So it would be it's one of those tough decisions to move him. Beauvillier has that ceiling or that talent level where you're like, oh, we don't want to trade him, but he's struggled in the forward unit, whatever line he struggled, like especially last year he fell off. So maybe him in a new setting is the kind of situation where you're like, okay, like which team can like take on his contract, but like which would help the Islanders cap space, and which team would kind of want to give him a chance at 25 and say like, hey, we can like turn him into a star. So those are the players that come to mind. There is the rumor of Varlamov always on the trade block, but the Islanders one of the few times that Lamoriello has spoken, given press conferences or talked to the media, he has said that he wants to run with a goaltender duo of Sorokin and Varlamov next year. So that kind of looks like it's off the table, even at the trade deadline next year. Just like, that doesn't seem like a possibility. So those are the first, like, I mean, in terms of like offseason moves, those are the moves that I think they'd have to do. Or they might consider. The other thing really is trying to move players to the AHL and like, or trying to move players up forward, players off the roster, which is like another weird cap juggling, but those basically it's going to be like trying to see if they can make one of those moves is what comes to mind really.
Yeah, those are the two kind of names that kind of come to mind too. We'll see what the Islanders do, and if they do sign Kadri, it's going to be a whole bunch of stuff is going to need to happen before the season starts, that's for sure. So that's going to be interesting. Of course, the story is going to be followed until it happens. So unfortunately we're going to have to talk about it. All right, let's get some new news though, and of course this is with the Golden Knights, and they always seem to get lucky. I'm not saying Robin Leonard getting injured is lucky, but he's having to have hip surgery that's going to have him out for the whole season, and now the Golden Knights don't have a starting goaltender. They will be able to put his money on LTIR, which I think that's what's getting me. And now they can put him on LTIR and now trade for a guy that has a lot of money and all that stuff. But they seem to get lucky with this stuff. But they're going to have to go out and get a starting goaltender. So maybe that's unlucky, whatever. But Mariah, what do you think? Do you, what type of goaltender do you think the Golden Knights are going to go for? There's not really a lot out there.
Oh.
Starters. But who do you think they could potentially go after?
This is so hard because what team is going to want to give up their starting goalie? Or would, anyway. I mean, obviously there's some backups that could become starters.
Or were starters.
I was thinking, I've literally been looking over the list of goalies for the last, like, 10 minutes trying to think of an answer. Because I was just like, oh, my God. And I would say it's not going to happen. But I would say they could have Gustafson because we still need a forward. But I don't think Vegas is going to try to trade away a forward right now. But
no, and I'm not sure they're going to think he's better than who they have right now.
No.
too. So, I mean, I don't know. The Golden Knights are going to be looking around for goaltenders, and there's not a lot out there. Free agency, there's not a lot. I don't think they're going to be able to get anything there. Mike, what do you think about this? You know, this is a new thing. I was really surprised, just like with the Pacioretty thing. He's now hurt for most of the season. What do you think about this situation, Golden Knights having to go out to get a goaltender that could start for them?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing, when you mentioned, like, they're lucky, I'm just like, I was just shaking my head, like, this is a duct-taped roster. And, like, I know there's the, I know, like they get lucky in the sense, like, they can move players to the LTIR to open up cap space. I'm like,
that's the only lucky that is.
Yeah. I'm just like this roster, it's like people were like talking about how they could dodge the cap for so many years. And I'm like, well, now Shea Theodore on LTIR, Pacioretty had to get shipped out. And then he's getting injured. He's not getting injured, but like he's on, I think LTIR he's starting out the season on with an injury. This is like a roster that it's like, wow, this is like, it's like really like just a skeleton there. And it's like, okay, look, the skeleton tape is nice, but like, there's nothing else around it. But like they're in terms of the goaltending, they're going to have to, because they're in win now mode with not such a promising, I mean, it's not so promising in the sense like they just missed the playoffs and like they didn't get better over the offseason, I wouldn't think. They're going to make a move for goaltending. The first thing that came to mind is which teams are already bad / look like they're going to be really bad next year. And like it's early to project teams, and some teams like surprise us or whatever. But like which teams are going to like already, like you look at them and you're like, they're projected. And Chicago came to mind, but do they have a goaltender on the roster they could, I mean, they already acquired Mrazek, who's going to be their goaltender for the season in the sense, like, he's going to be the goaltender to get them that number one pick for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, like, the number one pick might be a good player that next year for all that they're hoping for. But the one goaltender it came to mind was James Reimer. From the Sharks, because the Sharks are also like a team that is like, what do, like, it looks like they're in a rebuild, but it's like very hard for them to rebuild, but like whatever, it looks like they're not going to be in a competitive state next year. So the Golden Knights could make a move for Reimer, who's also a solid, who kind of had a solid season for the team he was on. Other goaltender I just looked up is Linus Ullmark in Boston.
Yeah,
I don't know his claws, the Bruins are going to be an interesting team to just monitor that over this course of this season anyway. And he was Swayman emerged as a starter, so it's possible that's the team they could kind of give a call to see like what's the situation there, and also like if he has a no movement clause, and he would move it. But the otherwise, yeah, it doesn't really look so good for their goaltending. But those are like the two that stand out. It's like, okay, they legitimately have a chance to bring them in, make them their starter.
Yeah. Would you think they would call the Islanders for Varlamov, or
that has been discussed? It's just that I think I think the Golden Knights would take on a $5 million contract. I don't know I mean, they probably could do that, but the real question is, would the Islanders want, it doesn't sound like they want to trade, although Varlamov's on a, they wouldn't want to trade Varlamov just because of like the idea of splitting starts next year is very intriguing.
Right.
For Lamorello and the coaching staff. But part two is, yeah, Varlamov has, I think, on his no movement clause. This is why I guess he can get traded to Edmonton, because the Oilers are on his no movement clause. The Golden Knights are rumored to be on his no movement clause. I can't confirm that, but it's been like a rumored thing. But the real part is if they trade Varlamov at any point, even if they were to trade him last season, and if they trade him before the season, is getting 20 to 30 starts from someone, because Sorokin could start 50 to 60 games, but you're going to need a goaltender that can back him up reliably for at least 30 or at least 20.
Right.
So that's kind of like, I don't think the Islanders do it. If that's like, that's just like right off the top of my head, they wouldn't do it. But the Golden Knights might inquire on it. I mean, but that's basically like where it stands on. It seems unlikely, just because I don't think the Islanders would move away from that goaltending duo, if you will.
No, I don't think so either. But I think Golden Knights going to try, because that's a big guy that could potentially be a starter for a bit for them. So we'll see how that all plays out, because the Golden Knights are definitely going to be in the market for a goaltender, because I don't think they want to run with a backup. Like, I'm trying to think of who their backup is right now.
I think it's Lauren Brossoit or Brossoit.
Brossoit, and then Thompson? Logan Thompson?
Unless they sign someone. But, like, even so, like, their goaltending wasn't that good last year. I mean, they traded away Fleury. So it's like, it's really like just, I mean, to get off on a tangent, not to get off on a tangent, but like, this is like kind of what Vegas has put themselves into, where it's like,
oh yeah,
they've traded away Fleury, you trade away Ryan Reeves last year. And it's like, how do they dodge the cap? And it's like, well, look at their roster now. And it's like, they've dodged the cap, but like, things don't look so, they might be the fifth best team in the Pacific, which is crazy.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And the thing is it's so, I just want them to miss the playoffs again. And then all, you know, having to further blow up their team, because the way they've dealt with their roster and over since they started has been so bad. So getting rid of guys and just not really caring how they feel at all. So yeah, it's a whole big mess. So we'll see how that all plays out as it goes here into training camp. All right, let's wrap up the episode with our usual articles of the day segment here. We'll start with you, Mariah. What's your article of the day?
I've got it. I tabbed away from it. I got to get it back. I have Oilers need both Kessel and Subban to be serious cup contenders by Mark Scheich. I always say those names wrong and I feel so bad. I saw the headline and I was like, what? I was really confused. But then reading the article, it actually makes sense. And I can really, I'm a huge Kessel fan just because I am.
Yeah.
And a bit of a Subban fan, but not quite as familiar as I am with Kessel. But and the way he sets it up that Edmonton could actually use both of them, I'm not going to give it all away, but that they could actually fit into the team and make it work is really interesting and thought out and could work, actually. I was going into this thinking, no, this is far-fetched. And then I'm reading it and I'm like, okay, you're making me interested, and now I kind of want to see this happen.
Yeah, Mark's really good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting, he probably got a lot of views on that one from Edmonton fans, that's for sure. So yeah, those two guys are still on the market, and there's a lot of talk about where they're going to go, and but they're both guys that aren't their prominent selves anymore. I mean, yeah, Kessel had what, they had like 50 or so points last season, and most of them were assists.
Yeah.
But I mean, being on a team with guys like Leon Draisaitl, he'll be getting a ton of assists too, probably getting some goals because they can set you up, set him up too. So that'll be interesting. I hope he doesn't go there because I don't want the Canucks have to deal with that. I don't want Edmonton to get any stronger because the Canucks are looking pretty good at the forward group this year. So I'm hoping that they can make it. So we'll see. All right, Mike, what is your article today?
So mine is an older article, but it has been archived, actually, from our other podcast host, Kyle Knopp. It's NHL Expansion After Seattle, which is kind of – it was written after the Kraken were granted a franchise. But what's interesting about it is he goes through, like, the steps that it would take and then, like, what, like, would happen – like, what – like who, like why, like why would some teams or some teams in some countries get a team, or like what cities would get, how a city would get a team. And then the end, it talks about like which cities are possible or possibilities. And I think what's interesting, I mean, what I kind of like think about when I see like NHL expansion or any team sport expansion articles is how much the league wants to expand instead of rather, I mean, I think all leagues would rather have the leverage of we can relocate to a city instead of build a new team in a city. Hmm. So, I mean, with 32, it's kind of hard seeing the number go to 36 or 40 or whatever, until I guess like one sport does it, but then like everyone's going to follow. But, With teams now, it's all, I mean, one of the things that you think about is if this team doesn't get a new arena, there's always the possibility like they'll leave, and then those cities that you're thinking of for expansion could just be cities for like a team to relocate to, and that's like leverage for the league, if you will. So that's kind of something I think about with the expansion, like the ways that it could happen. I'd say check out Kyle Knopp's article on that, with like what, how it could happen in the NHL base is that basically.
Yeah, that was an interesting article, or it is an interesting article being republished every so often. So definitely check that out whenever it gets republished, because it is an interesting thing, because I don't think Gary Bettman's done with expansion. I think he still wants to add teams that in some cities, and I still want to see Quebec get they're a franchise back, and either by relocation or expansion, whatever it is. But the more teams there are, the more it gets saturated. And on the other hand, more teams, then more of these players that are free agents that should still be playing in the NHL can get chances. So there's good both ways of having expansion and not having it. So it is an interesting discussion to have for sure. Okay, my article of the day is about a player that just had 6 points in the game today, 4 goals and 2 assists, is Mason McTavish. And captain of Team Canada and already dominating the tournament, has, like I said, he had 6 points in the game today. And, you know, this article is by Derek Lee, who covers the Anaheim Ducks, and titles Ducks McTavish could be 2022-23 X Factor. And that's a definite thing that he could be, because one thing he did already debut in the NHL, he started last year, had a couple goals and looked like he belonged, but of course the Ducks made the decision to send him back to junior because you know, better for his development to be playing a lot rather than playing down the lineup. But this year he's definitely ready for the NHL. Like you see, he's dominating the World Juniors, he's played in almost every league you can imagine. This year, he played in the AHL, the OHL for two teams in the OHL, played for Team Canada, the Olympics, played for Team Canada, the World Juniors. He's just been everywhere. So he's probably going to be in the running for the Calder Trophy next year, and on a Ducks team that's on the rise. So I think, you know, let's give this article a read. He kind of goes through it, if he could play in the middle or on the wing, or somewhere else, and playing on the top line, bottom, you know, fourth line, whatever. And he also talks about his power play options, and then how it could be a leader down the line, being captain potentially in the future. So definitely give this article a read. He goes through a lot of great stuff about McTavish, and like you say, he's an amazing player. He's already, like I say, dominating the World Juniors at 6 points a day. So check the article out. McTavish is just a big news item right now. So take a look at that article when you get a chance, for sure. All right. Before we wrap up the episode, I always like to do this. So Mariah, I'll start with you. What do you have in the works article-wise at the Hockey Writers?
Well, I'm finally going to be able to submit it tonight. I've been working on it the last few days, but I've got one about three keys to the Wild having a successful season, if I can say it correctly. And then there's a couple other ones that I'm going to be working on. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I have them saved on a list on my phone that I've been meaning to write for a while. So hopefully I will have some more articles in the next few days. I've had a little bit of a break, so I need to get back at it.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I've been kind of in a lull lately too. So trying to get some stuff out. I'm doing the takeaways for Team Finland, but we got some Canuck stuff going on as well. All right, Mike, what do you have in the works? I know you've been busy. There's been quite a few articles. You wrote a really good one on the offenses for the NHL, kind of adjusting to the offenses. Really enjoyed that article. So what else do you have in the works?
Yeah, that one actually took me a few days. It was defenses adjusting to offenses.
Yeah,
usually like this time of year is like all the articles that I pushed aside during the season. I'm like, oh, great, this is a good one to revisit potentially. So that was recently. So there is one idea that I kind of want to get to at some point in this like lull period, just like in general, like big hockey thing, things about the NHL or hockey. But in terms of the Islanders stuff, there's two things. I've got all systems go ready in case whenever that Kadri signing happens. I'm like, all right, if that happens, go right, a bunch of stuff about him. It's funny because like I had the same mindset for Johnny Gaudreau, and then I was like, well, what if he doesn't sign? And it's like, well, you have to write about what a big loss it is and what happens next. So that happened earlier in the year with Gaudreau, but Kadri right now, that's like what it means if they sign him, like what he adds to the offense and the team overall. That's just in case it ever happens soon. Get ready for the shoe to drop, I guess.
Yeah.
The other thing that I'm working on, just regardless of Kadri or not, is which players are going to have to move positions or play in a different role next year, because in case of Kadri, but like in just in general, like which centers might have to move to the wing, and which wing players might have to play the opposite side. Something to kind of keep in mind going into next season, like with their roster. But that's basically the few things that I've got like jumbled in my head for the next few weeks or whatever.
Yeah, well, like I say, the off season is not a lot unless your team has a lot of news going around them, and not many teams do have that right now. So lots of different ideas going into the season. I've got a fun one that's going to take me a bit to write, but I've already picked all the players, but I'm picking one player from each NHL team that could potentially be a steal down the line. So later round draft picks that could potentially be steals. So look out for that one. Like I say, that's going to take me a bit to write because I got to go through all 32 teams. But I've got a player for each team that I think could potentially be those steals, like a Henrik Zetterberg, Pavel Datsyuk type players that could surprise. Andre Palat's one of the more recent ones that have become like that, but there's a few in every prospect and every pipeline that's like that. So I'm going to be doing that, and we're kind of chipping away at that throughout, probably get that done before the regular season starts. So look out for that one. And of course I'll be writing some stuff on the Canucks, different things, probably a recap of the World Juniors once that's over, None of the Canucks prospects have done a ton yet on the scoreboard, but hopefully that'll change. Okay, that'll wrap up today's edition. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hockey Writers Podcast. Listen to new episodes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to check out our other great content at thehockeywriters.com and our team channels on YouTube. Don't forget to sign up for our morning newsletter at morningskate.io and follow THW on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Matthew Zator, Mariah Stark, and Mike Fink, this has been the Hockey Writers Podcast.